To me, this game was going out to eat Italian food and deciding to go to Olive Garden.
Breadsticks. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 296. And this past week, the official roster for the upcoming Smash-inspired game, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, was leaked. We now know at least 20 of the fighters, including SpongeBob SquarePants, Helga Pataki from Hey Arnold, Reptar from Rugrats, Ren from The Ren and Stimpy Show, and both Aang and Korra from The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra, respectively.
I'm buying this day one. This is the ultimate fan service for me, for us 90s kids. I like Smash, so like... I'm buying this day one.
It is a brilliant idea.
It's a great idea. SpongeBob is going to be my main.
I mean, Patrick's there too.
Helga Pataki is really funny. I didn't know she was on the roster.
Yeah, you've got a couple Ninja Turtles. You've got at least one of the characters from All Real Monsters. Like,
oh,
they
yeah.
went deep,
the eye,
dude.
He's holding his eyes like yeah. this. I love Nickelodeon, dude.
That's good. All right, Kenny, what is your negative reaction?
Get off my lawn.
Curmudgeon-y to think this is a good idea.
You need to get off my lawn.
It's fun for some people, I guess.
Clearly.
Who is this? I don't know why I'm still amazed. I really should never be amazed by Kenny's reactions or words anymore.
So what channel, what television network... would you choose if they made a Smash Brothers game out of that network? What would hype you up?
I mean, I don't think...
Turner Classic Movies?
National Geographic?
No, they shouldn't just make a bunch of Smash Brothers games. Like, no
Agreed,
one wants another
but that's,
ridiculous
this is a hype-
they made fighter with just everybody thrown in a blender. Come on.
If it works, it works. They made a bunch of Battle Royale games after Fortnite took off, and I mean...
And those were terrible ideas, too.
This is a fan service. They've done a fighting game before. I don't recall what it was called, but I think it was pleasantly received. And this is just a new take on that, but with beloved characters. And I get they had to get the approval and permission to use these Nickelodeon characters, so there's some kind of backing there. Like this seems, I don't know.
I'm down. I think it's going to be pretty viral. I think people will like stream it and really, really like it because a lot of that age group on Twitch is around our age now. I think there are younger people that might know some of those characters like SpongeBob, but like not Ren from Ren and Stimpy, but
Cat Dog's on there.
Stimpy.
Cat Dog is on there? No
Cat
way.
Cat Dog's on there.
The move sets are going to crack me up. Every move is going to make me laugh out loud. Like, what do you do with Cat Dog?
Yeah, I don't know. But, okay, so I think we've generally got the idea, but we'll start with Kenny. Rate your desire to play Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl on a scale from, of course, 0 to 4.
I don't know. 1.5.
You're gonna have to get some more.
The fact that there's Ninja Turtles makes it sort of an option for me.
There's only two of them.
Yeah. What?
Okay.
Which two? My opinion edges totally based on which turtles they pick.
I don't recall. Probably Leonardo and Michelangelo. That's what I'm going with. Final answer.
Okay, that was a total guess, and that would be a terrible choice.
Okay, 0 to 4, Nolan.
I'm giving this one a mega 4.
Ooh, mega 4. I would go far above and say that if I could, I would break that rating system, and my desire to play this would be a 12.
A cyber 12?
A cyber 12, yes, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like in our retro game of the week, Mega Man Zero 4.
Overview.
Mega Man Zero 4 is the fourth and final installment in the Zero franchise of Mega Man games. We all know Mega Man loves their sub-series and sub-franchises. There are a lot of them. Battle Network is a... I mean, spin-off's not the right word, but Battle Network is a subset. The X series, Zero, others. They play around and they explore with different kinds of genre or series. This came out in 2005. This is a Capcom game because it is Mega Man. And you play as Zero. Titular, I can say that this time correctly.
Yeah, yeah,
kind of. Mega Man is not in this game, so these games take place hundreds of years after the events of the X series, which we have played Mega Man X on this podcast a long time ago with SNES Drunk, friend of the show. This one takes place in the future, where you are fighting against there's a war going on, and again, this is the fourth one in the series, so there's a lot of story that you guys don't have. Now, okay, let me start before we do that. I've played Mega Man Zero, the first one. I own it. You guys haven't touched these. I know you have.
I played Mega Man 2.
Yeah. 3.
And 3 and 4.
Okay, got it. Got it.
I have also played like some of the Mega Man X. When I was young, Mega Man X series, I believe, was coming out. And so it was at the rental theater. Not theater. What? Rental place. and so I seeing and Zero was a part of those games. I think you already mentioned that, at least to some degree, because when I remember seeing him and seeing a Mega Man character, not in blue, but in red, that immediately is like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then with a sword or like a Z-Saber, as a kid, that just did everything for me.
Yeah.
So Zero has always been a favorite for me of a series that I don't necessarily have an extreme fondness for.
Yeah. He's like the Green Ranger. He's like sick, 1,000%. But you don't know much about him. He's kind of mysterious.
Okay. 1,000%.
Kenny, he's red. I know. Don't get upset about the color. Why are you making that face?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Zero is an edgelord, literally, with the saber. And the story is as well. I mean, it's a little... It's grittier than traditional Mega Man story or gameplay. Basically, a war broke out after the X series, and humans are warring against Reploids, which are the humanoid robots like Mega Man and Zero, but they've given it a term. And Zero is fighting for humans and pushing back different villains from different games. In this one, it's Dr. Wile or Wheel. I like to call him Wily.
Well, he's not. I think there's fan thought of it's some kind of incarnation of Dr. Wily, but it is Dr. Wile, W-E-I-L. Let me just give you all a little thing right here that I think is somewhat interesting, and I think there's some kind of substance here. W-E-I-L is Wile. Sounds like Wily, right? And I think they're going for that. But also, in German, that would be pronounced, the W would be pronounced with a V. Vile, which is interesting because that's an English word that means sinister, you know, evil. And I think there's some credence here because the eight bosses are called the
Einhunder.
It's not Einhunder. We've already.
I thought it was at first.
Played that game. The Einherjar or something like that, which is not necessarily German. I think that's actually Nordic or something.
Yeah,
but
Norse
there
mythology.
Is some relation. Norse. I think it's there's some relation there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think they're doing some kind of play on words. It's not the most creative, but it is interesting.
Probably. Yeah.
Two things.
What?
First, and this is probably a throwaway conversation, but if we're talking about Reploids. Are we going to talk about the fact that Elon Musk recently announced that he's going to make Reploids? Because we almost live in this universe.
Okay.
Okay, two. You guys don't care and maybe didn't catch that news. But apparently, like, humanoid robots are a thing that he's working on next. I don't know.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, he's going to build robots that look like people.
Well, we're trying to...
But...
That Will Smith
Reploids.
Movie.
Reploids. Exactly. Oh, iRobot? Okay.
Basically, it's all over soon, guys. You heard it here first.
Soon's relative. I feel like that's going to happen. You're right. Oh, you haven't got to two? What? What's two?
Wait, no, that
two.
Was definitely two.
No, that was number
What's
one.
Your hard
I was trying
place?
To make it a throwaway, and then I got weird conspiracy. Two, can we talk more about the naming conventions for the rest of this game? Because I can't pronounce a single person's name
Neige.
In this game, and it makes me really mad.
Seal and Neige.
No, Neige. It's
Neige.
Pronounced it's pronounced beige, and there's no way Listen. That my brain can read it in any other way as Neige, and I hate everything about that, and I want to burn the world down because of that choice. Worst name ever.
Dr. Wile origin story?
That's my numbers.
Not only those characters, but the bosses, those names goodness. Are all like Norse, and so there's no way to pronounce those correctly.
Finally, I didn't mention this is a GBA game. I love GBA. I own Mega Man Zero, and I absolutely love it. So it was interesting for me revisiting that console. Dustin, I know you're a GBA fan these days.
Yeah, every time we come back to a GBA game, I'm like, I so desperately wish I would have had one of these because they are remarkable. I feel like they're so far ahead of their time. I feel like they're better than DS.
Well, that's a tough one, but I know where you're coming from. Like, when it was just GBA, like when that was the only thing out for the handheld, that was ahead of its time for sure.
I do think it's important before you share some of the story, which I get, maybe you did a little bit with Neo Arcadia,
but
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Give a little bit more. But before you do, I think that we need to acknowledge that it is tough to play the fourth and final game in a series before playing its predecessors.
It is. It bothered me. I think it bothered a lot of people.
We've had a few comparable situations before. We played Mega Man Battle Network 2 before playing the first. That's a little bit there. And then some of the Castlevania games, we didn't play them sequentially, and they are somewhat story-driven platformer games.
Yes.
But it's never been this severe, where we're playing the final game in a series that is heavy on story. And maybe you think Mega Man and you're like, it's not that heavy on story. The Mega Man Zero series is
big,
heavy on story.
Big. And I like that. It's different for a Mega Man game. So it was a bummer. Yeah, go ahead.
It bothers me way more when a game makes you feel like you need to have played the other games than with something like a book. I get if you don't want to jump into the fourth series in a book, you're going to be lost. Like, it is only story. But this one, I feel like when you make games, even story-driven games that depend on past story and, you know, set up future story, you should be able to give enough of sort of context to let the game be standalone on its own, or else you're doing something poorly. And they tried. They gave a little backstory,
really,
but it wasn't enough. You felt like you were right in the middle of this weird thing, and it felt like jumping, you know, ahead in a book and just reading the last chapter, and it was kind of obnoxious to me.
So just a little deeper there on story. It's a very post-apocalyptic setting. Zero is part of the Resistance, which is really sick, along with Seal. He was a human. And Seal woke up Zero from his slumber in Mega Man Zero. It's a little backstory for you guys. And they are fighting against Dr. Wile, who has assumed control. He's like the president now of Neo Arcadia, which is the setting here, and he's hunting humans and trying to kill people. So
and using his 8 robots to destroy any kind of like... not civilization, but like nature out in the world, so that Neo Arcadia is the only place to live.
Operation Ragnarok.
Ooh, yeah. It's the end of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marvel just ripped this thing off.
That
with
is
their
yes,
Thor
what
movie.
We even had people reach out, Discord and in email, saying, hey, what are your plans for when the randomizer pulls something late in a series? And my response, I didn't talk with y'all, but I mean, my response is what it's always been. It's the randomizer. We don't, if we pull a 4, we don't play 1. We play 4.
We play 4, man. The randomizer
gets you.
We'll play one someday.
But
I hope so.
I, But for me, at least, in my review and in my play, I aim to do the research necessary to be able to speak on that sure. game. And I don't want my review to be completely tainted or hindered in any way by not having played the rest before, because that doesn't speak fairly to the game that I'm dealing with.
That's fair, but games should also be a standalone yes. unit of entertainment.
Within and reason.
And if I can't enjoy it on its own merits, something is wrong.
Gameplay.
This is not Mega Man, first of all.
In fact, it is it's one of only two games in the entire Meta series that doesn't feature any incarnation of the blue Mega Man.
Oh, nice little fact there. What's the other one? Something six?
One of the other games?
03, maybe?
I don't know. No, but it is one of the only two, which is interesting.
So, I say that mostly because of the sword, but the flow of gameplay, I think, is quite different from Mega Man. It's still a platformer. It's still a run and gun. And you have a gun, but it is 100,000% secondary to Zero's Z-Saber, which is what you always identify Zero with. And it's so sick. It's not a buster gun like Mega Man.
Right. So you start off with the Z-Saber and the Buster Shot, and a new thing for this series, the Zero Knuckle, which is also a huge component here.
Yes.
And you immediately, when you go into your menus, you actually have some kind of button mapping and button customization of like how you want your setup to be.
Amazing. No game. Every game should do this.
Which is so insane. Like, it's got three presets, but I think you can even go in and change, like, within
you
that.
You can. That's unheard of, especially on a handheld console.
I didn't like the original setup.
Same.
And so I changed it. I don't remember what type I moved it to, but I ended up having it where L was dash, R was secondary, A was primary, and B was jump.
Yeah. That's pretty much the exact same thing, because the default one is you have to hold right and then hit your action button to do your secondary. And I was like, too much. Also, very weird thing about this game. You start with your Z-Saber unequipped. You start with the Buster Shot as your main and the Knuckle as your second. And I was like, what are y'all doing?
Do you want to know? This is on me. It's on the game, but then on me. I didn't know enough of... I wasn't registering who I was playing and the Z-Saber and all of those things when I first started. So I tried to complete that first stage without using the Z-Saber because I didn't have it. Like, it wasn't equipped. It was just Knuckle and Buster. It did not go well for me. It was... No. Because that's not how you're supposed to play this game. So I have no idea why it would start you that way.
I don't either. That's their fault. That's not your fault. Like... You're supposed to start with the freaking Z-Saber.
Yes.
Anyways, once you get it, you begin to realize what I mean by the pacing of the gameplay is just straight different, because you get close to your enemies and slash them because it does much more damage. Whereas in Mega Man, there's a lot more dodging projectiles involved, and that's here, but it's just different. And I like this flow. It's a refreshing thing within the Mega Man universe, I think.
Let's talk about the Zero Knuckle. I almost called it the Z Knuckle, which that's fair. But the Zero Knuckle. I love the idea of that, the Knuckle.
Kirby 64?
Enemy skill materia?
Okay. So by those two references, you should have an idea of what this does.
Yeah.
You can't just use it for damage. It does a lot of damage. It rips apart the enemy that you're fighting, because you're most often, you're always fighting some kind of like robotic thing. So you can like rip that apart, right? But you can also, from time to time, depending on the enemy that you're ripping apart or using your knuckle for that final damage, you can pull off a piece of them and then use that item as a ability, as a move. So sometimes it's a shield, sometimes it's a gun, and sometimes
it's an axe.
And sometimes it's a little bomb. Here's the thing. I liked the idea, but I didn't love the full implementation of it the more that I played, because I thought there was too little variety and not enough damage. I think there's a lot of variety. There's different items, but they fall into one of those three categories, right? It's a it's a throwable that does about the same thing. It's a shot that does about the same thing, and it's a shield that, why would you ever have a shield when you could have something else? And it does too little damage most of the time.
You're right. The risk reward ratio was off, and getting it, the risk, is not that bad. I mean, you have to gap close, you have to get close enough, and you have to figure out which enemy gives you which ability. But I ended up not using it for damage because the Z Saber is just straight up better. So I agree. I think it's very cool, but it was a little lackluster.
It just added a lot of complexity to me, and like one whole system in a game that I feel like already is a little overloaded on sort of disparate systems that are sort of all running at the same time and aren't really cohesive. I don't mind that it's there. I wish that it had just been like a more efficient way to grab very specific enemy parts so that it was more leaning you towards the whole, you know, parts and build your own gun thing, or something that wasn't like also its own way of battle. It just felt like another thing to do. And I get the concept. I know they had to do some new things, but there's a few systems that they added here that just felt like kind of additional overhead. I don't know if we're ready to talk about it, but the weather system felt kind of that same way to me. Like, just added newness and complexity just for sort of complexity's sake. Did you guys like the whole weather system or hate it?
Well, one, I agree with you that there are too many disparate systems here that don't necessarily aren't cohesive with one another. And so you're trying to learn so many different systems, yep. And it's like, why so many? My favorite of the systems is the knuckle, even though I don't necessarily love the implementation all the way through. I think that's a great system. But the weather system is probably second in the list of, it's okay. Like, it adds difficulty. On every stage, you can change, most stages, you can change the weather from its normal weather to a different weather pattern. Yep. And it can change the difficulty of the stage, and then also what you're able to collect, and the patterns of the boss and maybe sub boss or something like that.
I like it because of the drop pool changes. So there's a part system, a crafting system in this game,
which that's my least favorite.
That's your least favorite. Okay.
Oh,
I think I like that it's there. Killing enemies will sometimes result in a part that is dropped that you can't use right then and there. You just collect it, and you have to take it back to your caravan to, what's his name, to combine it with other parts to create items.
Trash and
buffs.
Mine was trash the entire time.
It's just junk, and more junk.
Oh, you have to look up the guide. Like, you shouldn't have to.
To find it in game.
You shouldn't
there are
have
characters
to.
That tell you recipes.
There are a few. There are
a
hints.
Few. Yeah, and
it's an expansive crafting list. You do have to look it up, and I agree that maybe there should be something in game to point you in the right direction. But changing the weather will alter the drop pool of parts, and I like this. It adds replayability. It does change difficulty in some areas, and it just allows you to strategically go through the list of eight enemies, which in Mega Man, typically you pick them and their stage is static and you just get their ability at the end. This adds some variety between our playthroughs, and I think it's cool. And it's not hard to learn. It's a switch, change the weather, and then you go to the stage. I think it's fine.
I didn't like that the EX items from the boss were hidden behind doing the boss in a certain sort of weather. I don't think it made that super obvious. And I feel like that's the whole kill the boss, get a sweet upgrade feels super core Mega Man-y to me. Maybe that's because I spent more time in Mega Man than in Zero Land. Yeah. But I want that. And the fact that I had to like take this extra step and take on a whole bunch of extra difficulty and just keep track of one more thing here, again, just felt like a lot. And again, I don't mind the systems. I just felt like there were a lot of them and that they weren't really cohesive. They were kind of competing for my time and attention and interest.
I want to talk about the X skills, but I want to talk about the EX skills, but Dustin, your main problem with the part system was just that there was no guide and no way to know what to craft.
Crafting systems in any game are not generally my favorite because they do try to go so comprehensive and it takes a lot of time and a lot of investment typically. Here in this game, it's just not intuitive. There's a lot of parts that drop and you really just have to guess or test things. And like I said, for the majority of my time, it was trash. It was junk. And so that I ended up forming. So yeah, I wasted those items, created junk, and never got anything from it. And then on top of that, there are some like really key abilities. I don't know if they're considered abilities, but like character enhancements mm-hmm. that are locked behind that double mm-hmm. jump and self-recovery yep. and other things like that are completely locked armor. In that system that is not well explained in the game. So crafting is fine, but there needs to be some kind of guide or recipes. There's a whole recipe thing there. And I don't remember finding any of the recipes during the game. I don't
know.
It'd
be cool if you found recipes in the stage.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing in Dead Cells, by the way. You find blueprints and then you can craft them later. Yes. That would have made a lot of sense.
Or give a static recipe each time you kill a certain boss so that there's one more, you know, I got to go That's kill cool. a new boss so Something. I can learn more. Like there's 18 different ways. I counted them. Exactly 18. No more, no less. Yeah. Where they could have done this differently that would have worked. And I don't know.
Now the EX skills. I think I agree with you, Kenny, that it's kind of weird that some of them are not. It's weird that there are multiple options to like have to get those EX skills. They're not just beat the boss and you get the same one. I feel like that makes it a little strange. However, once you do have them, I like the implementation. So in traditional Mega Man, you kill a boss, you get the power up, you hit select and you choose from the list and you have an energy bar to spend of that ability. In this one, you equip passives or actual moves onto your weapon. So the flame boss gives you this flame uppercut on your sword when you hit up and the action button. Love that. And I think the implementation there of those skills is creative and different from Mega Man, but still makes you feel like you're making progress.
Yeah, and I think that works because I don't know how these Reploids work. Is Mega Man considered a Reploid? I mean, he's half human, half... I mean,
in this lore,
And Zero is too, then? Okay, so I don't know if they're all able to do what Mega Man does and absorb the ability of a boss. I don't know how that works, but I think it's good implementation here. I just agree that not being able to naturally get it from the end of a boss fight... Like, when I finished my first boss fight and didn't get that an ability, I was like, that's odd. Like,
it's different,
That feels very different.
Yeah.
So it wasn't my favorite setup, but implementation, I do agree with you that's good. And then back to Kenny, you mentioned it too early in passing because we weren't able to give it the attention that it deserved then. But the elf system, that's just another one. So do you understand, like here in the last few minutes, we talked about four or five systems that are not innate to Mega Man. So they're systems that you have to learn and that aren't always either set up or implemented in the best possible way. Elf is another system that I actually think it's one of the ones that are up there for me that I really do like, maybe right under Knuckles system, in that it's simplistic. Sure. You have one elf. In previous games, I believe you had multiple elves that you had to collect and it was a lot deeper. And this one, there's only one elf that you have from the beginning. You can upgrade that elf, and then you can use one of three categories of abilities as kind of just bonuses. So this little spirit can follow you. It's an elf. This little elf can follow. I hate that it's called elf. Can follow you around and can either give you additional health drops or can, you know, serve as a little companion. I like it.
We were asking if there were other Capcom RPGs we hadn't talked about.
I hadn't
brought up Mega Man 04 because I hadn't ever played it. But there's so much story. There's so much character development stuff going on. Yeah. So much between platforming levels, like running around and customizing your character. You could almost argue this is like a third or a half RPG. And that feels weird for me.
And a hack and slash, and a run and gun, and a platformer, and an action game. I mean, it's got a lot in there. But yeah, it's an RPG, I think.
What problem do you have with cyber elves, Kenny? You shook your head. Just that they're elves? They're called that?
So we talked about the difficulty of a story jumping you three kind of levels in.
Yeah.
And this is another one of those. The fact that we're playing the fourth one, the elves have been around, so people who played other Mega Man Zero games get it. But again, to me, it's just one more sort of system, and we're jumped right into the middle of it, where maybe one or two of them are new to this game, but all of them are new for us, jumping it to the end of the series. And elves are cute, but like, if it's a platformer or it's an RPG or it's something, but it's not a pet sim on top of everything else. And they just had too many irons and too many fires here.
Okay. I do want to talk about the difficulty here and the bosses in that, because we talk about Mega Man hard a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think this is Mega Man hard. I think this is the opposite of Mega Man, where in Mega Man, the stages are hard. Getting to the boss is very challenging, and the boss is hard. In this game, I think getting to the boss is not even close to as hard as normal Mega Man, but the bosses themselves are very difficult.
I let me just say, I think, and I'll speak for Kenny, and he can correct me if I'm wrong. I think for Kenny and myself, it is hard. Maybe not Mega Man hard, but it's still...
I think the bosses are unfair.
I die like, so much.
I think the bosses are straight up unfair. But the more I played them, retried the bosses, the more I fell in love with each one.
Yeah, you
I
learn think their patterns,
the,
sure.
The patterns are well executed. It's rewarding for learning them and actually taking the time to dodge. You can't spam. Maybe when you get certain power-ups and against certain bosses, you can spam, but it's risky, and I wouldn't do that. And also, I think all the bosses, they each have their own like personality. The chicken?
Yeah.
One example. But I love the bosses in this game.
Kenny, did you die a lot?
Yes, you died a lot.
So many times, of course.
Did you beat it? No.
No, I think Nolan is correct that I struggled more on bosses than I did on levels. Yeah. Sure, levels had difficulty, but like I felt like you dropped health enough and kind of just got in a flow. And once you learned sort of the enemies, I didn't find myself having too much difficulty getting through the levels. I'd have to try again a few times if I made stupid mistakes, which was plenty. But the bosses were like... save and try again.
I'm on hard mode right now.
You know, like it was tough. And I like the fact, because I knew this and I knew this game was going to be punishing, I like the fact that they offered an easy mode, because I very much considered doing it.
I should have.
But
y'all should have. I
when
think.
You do, it changes so many of the mechanics. Like, I'm not going to play a mode that just doesn't allow me to get to the EX weapons at all.
Right, it's
like that's not okay. It just
so much of the gameplay
fun. To it was a bad payoff to get easy mode, and so I was not a fan of how they did that.
I would have loved an easy mode where you can still do some of those things. It's just a lot easier. I personally, I never click easy because I'm not a fool.
Of course,
I always go normal straight away. But with Mega Man, normal is not normal. And normal is hard, and I died a lot. I found the bosses to be some... I didn't find them to be as difficult as the sub-bosses, the lead-up.
Yeah.
On every stage, you have the boss before the boss.
Yeah.
I found those to be the most difficult things
in the
game.
They are.
And you don't get really any nice thing. They could have dropped the recipes. I'm just saying, there's something they could have done here. But yeah, man, it's maybe not Mega... It's not classic Mega Man difficulty, but it is... It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
We have addressed story a couple times, but I just wanted to take one more moment in the gameplay section, because it is a gameplay component. There is an unbelievable amount of story here. It is anime story. There's cutscenes. There's dialogue. There is a lot of it. A lot of it. In fact, Nolan, your first play is about 18 minutes, whatever. At least half of that is going through or more is dialogue, story.
Oh, and I cut a lot, too.
Dude, there's a lot. There's so much. I cannot overstate it. And this is one of the things that I really like about this game is that it is the conclusion of a story. Yep. Mega Man never really concludes. They always want a next game, you know? Mega Man Zero 4 is the end.
They're like, this is it. Like, I like that too. It makes it epic. Kenny. It makes it so epic.
They they gave themselves an out. I'm not going to talk about the ending for people who haven't seen it, but they gave themselves, they ended the story for sure, but they gave themselves a little bit of an out if they chose to revisit it.
They have?
Sure. But they still closed the story. It was a the end, and they could mean it. They could unmean it, but they could mean it as well.
And the dialogue's not bad. It's decent story. If you want to play through
one cutscene from the near the end of the game that is like a classic iconic, like, what am I even fighting for? But the story is interesting. You know, the rebels and Neo Arcadia and trying to go to, and I love the idea that your base is this traveling caravan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of super cool, and that you're on the run. Like, I love that story component. Like, I'd read a book about Zero
about Reploids,
and Neo Arcadia. Man,
Elon's writing it.
I thought the story was quite interesting and, like I said, certainly expansive here.
Yeah, I liked it. They were a little all over the map with, like, good guy, now he's a bad guy, now there's a twist, and just sort of, like, flippant. But comes with the genre, I think. And so I rolled my eyes and put up with it.
Aged.
So we already said that this is one of the most recent games that we've played because we have our 15-year cutoff, and this is 2005. We've often pointed out how well handhelds tend to age anyways, because they're sort of this self-contained thing. They're, I don't know, they tend to forward-proof better than a lot of other games, I think, because they're not depending on the best tech or anything. They just want to be, like, tight and clean and crisp and portable. And this has both of those things going for it. And so this one, to me, feels like it hasn't aged almost in any way at all. There's the little bit of the reality of, if you're not playing it on an actual GBA, that the resolution's relatively low because it was on handheld. And so if you're blowing it up to larger sizes, you're going to get a little sort of just, like, you know, pixel stretching that looks a little ugly. But besides that, this game is flawless. Like, you could pick it up and play it today. Ooh. Easy.
Ooh. I agree for a lot of that, especially when it comes to the graphics, the fidelity, the artwork. I say it almost every time we come to a Game Boy Advance game. I don't understand how something that small was able to carry that much work, memory, space, whatever it takes to create art like this. There is so much color. Like, it is crazy to see that many color palettes on a screen at any given time. You can look at a stage and there are 24 colors in the background. There are 12 colors in the foreground. And then each of the character sprites, from those, like, mech bosses to Zero himself to all of the, there are so much detail, so much pixel work. Yep. And it is absolutely stunning to look at.
GBA games did this pixel art graphic style perfectly, so much so that it lasts to today. So if you go on, like, Pinterest or wherever and look at pixel artists and what they do, it looks like a GBA game. And I don't know why, but what they were able to achieve here is pretty timeless, actually, with how it looks. But even further than that, I live for these death animations. When you cut an enemy with the Z-Saber and it splits like this and holds for a second, and especially the bosses, they have a death line, and then there's a pause, and then they blow up. Wow, the animations in this game are top, dude.
Yeah.
There is some really good things, and I do think it's aged really well for the reasons I said. I wasn't as blown away by the look and sound of this game as you guys were. I felt like it was a little bit just sort of like what you would expect in 2005 on a GBA. I know, because it feels
flawless.
Game Boy.
It is perfect. I don't
It is flawless in how it's aged. Like, the experience of playing this game today is a great one.
It's like the experience you would have held in
2000. Because it wasn't that long ago. It translates well. I felt like the content itself, though, to me was good, but didn't feel standout. It felt like we've gotten this before. The music didn't, like, I can't sing you any of the songs. It was fine background music.
There's no singing.
The visuals looked good, but feel like other stuff. To me, this game was going out to eat Italian food and deciding to go to Olive Garden.
You're wrong. The soundtrack is very good, first of all, because it is that era, but it's like the heavier guitar soundtrack, which is different than Mega Man, so it helps the series stand out. It fits Zero as a character. I thought the music was jamming, so okay. You're wrong.
Well, and TBH, I don't love the music. I think it's good idea, poor implementation. I think if you were to listen to it in its most refined state, this game was re-released. I'm kind of jumping myself. Well, this game was re-released as a part of the Legacy Collection that came out in 2020 on the Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. It also came out a couple of years later, I think, on the DS2, did it not? Anyways.
I think so, yeah.
I think they were able to update the sound font a little, and so I think that is great. But GBA, handheld is always where, when it comes to sound, it doesn't always age perfectly because small speakers. I don't know what all the details are, but sometimes it's piercing or it's muddied. And I think that's what happens here. I think the idea is good, but I think it's somewhat muddied and somewhat the undertones are just, again, stuffy, muddy. I don't know. I thought it was okay, but not as good as some of the classic Mega Man music.
I'm sticking with my metaphor. Like, I like eating Olive Garden. Yeah, but like I'm with you, but it's not as exceptional as some things are that we play that we're like blown away by. At least I wasn't.
I agree.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Was there a particular track that really stood out to you, Nolan?
Yeah, the in-between stage track when you're in your caravan and it's like a big
That's
story
one of my
moment.
Favorite too. Right.
Like, it's a nice peaceful little thing. I love that one. And in terms of like hype tracks, I like the turtle guy stage, the fire stage.
It is Turtle Guy, by the way. That is the boss name.
Not Turtle Man.
Just Turtle Guy. Okay, so we've stated, but there are other games in the Zero Micro Series.
Yep.
Would you allow me to call it a Micro Series? And so there's 01, 02, 03, and then this one was 04. From my research, it seems like a lot of the fans seem to love 3 the most.
Interesting. I adore 1. I think I might like it better than this one. But I've never played 2 or 3. I kind of want to play 3 if that's the case. I wonder if it's story because of story or because of like it has the best gameplay or whatever.
Yeah, maybe a mixture. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that 4 is my least favorite of the series.
Cool.
It is $22 used for that little cartridge.
Yeah.
And it is $234 new.
Dang. Why? What?
Yeah. That'd be lot of money to pay for a little piece of plastic, huh?
Hey, it's what's inside the plastic that counts.
That counts. At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Nolan, I think you are the most outspoken about Mega Man in general from us three.
Yeah, I'm an ambassador.
You're an ambassador and a witness. And so if you would go ahead and share your feelings and thoughts on 04.
Allow me to testify. We're swinging this way with this vote.
Okay,
Mega Man series last too long, in my opinion. They go pretty long. I mean, we've got Mega Man 11 in the main series. We have X, whatever, 7, 8, I don't know. That's a lot of games. There's two ways to look at it. That's a lot of content, and sure, they're all good. Play them. I really like that they only did 4 here. And like you said, this is the end. Zero is a highly underrated character in the Mega Man universe. I think people think he's cool, but like even in the values that he has in the story, I think he's sick that he fights for the humans when no one else will. The saber, iconic. I think 4 stands out from 0, the first one, in that they took all of these systems, and it's basically an RPG at this point, but having come from those systems, I feel like there is so much replayability with this one. And I think they, I don't think they get too convoluted at all. I think once you understand them, they don't change. And you, and there's not a big learning curve. It's just pick up parts, craft something. The elf exists, use it. Like, I think this game's so fun. Probably play the first one and work your way up, but absolutely Mega Man Zero 4 gets my vote for New Game Plus.
So that's one yes. We'll move straight over to the bearded baller.
Wow. I'll take it. I came into this episode planning on giving this game an unenthusiastic yes, but then I convinced myself that was the wrong choice. No New Game Plus for me. It's a good platformer that does a few things to try and keep things fresh, but it just suffers from this whole adding more and more stuff as the series goes on. And I think there's just too much. There's just too much without any cohesion. Like, they just kept adding stuff in. We didn't even talk about that they throw a bunch of mini games into this game as well, because it's not something they needed to do and not part of the game. It suffers from like weird scope creep, and it's fine. A lot of people will enjoy it. There's probably better ones in this series, and it bothered me enough that I can't quite get there. So yeah, a lot of people will like this game, but I'm not giving it New Game Plus. They could have done better.
I'm worried.
I agree with Kenny on a lot of things that he said. I think, in fact, on a lot of our discussion, I probably lean more into Kenny's camp. Part of it, Nolan, I think, has rose-tinted glasses when it comes to Mega Man in general.
It's just cringe to not give any Mega Man game non-New Game Plus.
Well, see?
Every single Mega Man game should be New Game Plus certified.
Well, see? That's not true.
It is true. Ask anyone.
Ask. Okay, Kenny?
Nope.
I asked someone. The bearded bandit. All right. I came in here not knowing exactly which way I was going to swing, because I saw so much merit of the game this week, but as is with many Mega Mans, it was difficult for me, even though it's a very different kind of Mega Man game. But there is one, and I do think it is way too convoluted of a gaming system. But there is one thing that caused me to have the fondness required to give it my vote for New Game Plus status, and it is the amount, depth, and creativity of story. I think there is a better story here than is probably found in any Mega Man title and in a lot of video games, certainly platforming video games. There is such an interesting story here that alone makes me want to go and play the earlier ones in the Zero series. I'll do easy mode or story mode or never die mode, but I'm definitely intrigued in the story components here. I thought it was super cool. That, along with the graphics alone, caused me to give it my vote for New Game Plus status, which means, I will say just barely, Mega Man Zero 4 is New Game Plus certified.
Good.
But what did you think? We had 354 votes on YouTube. 41% said yes, it's worth playing today. 8% said no, go play something else. And 52% have never played it before.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a lot. I had never played it before. Kenny had never. Wait, no, none of us had ever played it before.
Yeah.
And then I'll read a few commentaries that came across via Discord and our email as well. It's difficult. It's starting to get difficult to know who is actually submitting the commentary nowadays, because so many of them are changing their names and their profile
and pictures
based on the retro game of the week that we're playing. So I'm getting very confused now on who's submitting what.
Well, that's kind of fun, though.
It is. Captain Protein said, from the prologue text and the opening stage of the game, Zero 4 sets itself apart from other Mega Man titles in many ways. Just to name a few, there is a much greater emphasis on story, the combat is fast-paced and melee-focused, and we're crafting gear from various collectible items, and we even have a helpful companion with us that we level up and get passive bonuses from. The difficulty of this game can be pretty unforgiving. As far as I tell, you generally die in about 5 hits from any source of damage. Yeah, that is insane, by the way. In addition, there is a generous amount of instant death traps in the levels, but the smooth control of the character never made it feel unfair to me, considering that the bosses in this game are called Ein Herjar, The term, originating in Old Norse mythology, and roughly translates into Army of One, I found it ironic that the stages leading up to the bosses offered the bigger headache than the bosses themselves. Which is the opposite of what you said, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely opposite of what I said. I mean, get good. That's my answer to everyone that's always like, that's like, oh, I die in five hits. It's like, yeah, it's Mega Man.
And then he finished with Mega Man 04 is a fun, challenging, fast-paced 2D ARPG platformer that I didn't beat this week due to lack of time, but I will certainly revisit this, and 04 wholeheartedly gets my vote for NGP.
Take out the A, and you got it. I think it's an RPG platformer.
It's an RPG. So he didn't have... Listen, I looked up how long to beat this week to see if I would be able to beat the game, because I've been beating games recently. And it has it at only like 2.5 hours. That is a joke.
You're going to die too much for that. No, that's a perfect playthrough.
Yeah, that's somebody that knows the game, has mastered it, and just plays it straight through.
First like, couple flawlessly. Of stages took me 2.5 hours, dude. Like,
same. It's longer than that, for sure.
It is longer than that. Yeah. Okay. Ace of Pain said, though not my favorite of the 4-0 games, this one got it where it counts. This one... got it. This one has it where it counts. Yep. The story's intense. You really feel like Zero's battling for the planet's survival, with the villain literally trying to destroy the world. The graphics are definitely the best in the series, with beautiful sprites, backgrounds, and animations, and the music really complements that, even with GBA's limited sound compression. That's what I said. Definitely check out the arranged soundtrack to see how this game was meant to sound. That's what I said. The game mechanics kind of regressed a bit, with 4 reintroducing level grinding, a problem that the third installment already had fixed. No longer rewarding players a secret power-up for A, ranking the level. An irritating weather system for the stages, and a useless iron knuckle weapon, just to name a few. The difficulty may be off-putting to some, but if you have spare time, there's a lot of hidden power-ups and abilities to uncover to even the odds. But even with its shortcomings, it's still a Mega Man game, and it's a good one. I say check it out.
I'll say the ranking thing that they rolled back. I didn't know that was a thing in 3. I agree. I think they should have done that, because like rolled it back like they did, because these two wouldn't have been able to unlock anything getting a ranking on a stage. Like, I can't get an S. Are you kidding me? That's a good change.
Yeah, I think from what I researched, 4 was actually a stripped down, quote unquote, easier kind of version of these games than its predecessors.
I gotta play 3.
So that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Kenny will love it. And then Cecil said, whoa, is that allowed? I know randomization means we can land anywhere in a series, but the last one of 4? No, that's illegal. You can't just start a conversation about a game series with its finale. You're missing out on all the context and story and gameplay shakeups. Jumping right into 2 or 3, I could understand. But 4? No, put that down. You'll spoil your appetite. Is this game NGP status? Yes, of course it is. The whole Mega Man 0 series is. Please play them if you can. Just don't start with 4.
Cecil,
bring it up with the randomizer.
Right, it's not
and
us.
2, these are user submitted. You don't want us playing last games in a series? Just give us first games in a series.
So the first blame is the randomizer. Second blame is you.
It's your fault.
It's your fault, this Cecil.
The last thing it is on us.
Look, that's why the randomizer is sick. Like, we play what it gives us. That's what we do here.
Good or bad. And or bad. We're going to set aside Mega Man 04 now and randomly select from the randomizer, where we don't have any control, but the randomizer gets to decide our fate. There were many people, by the way, that wrote and weren't able to include all the thoughts on the game of the week. If you'd like to submit your thoughts on any game of the week, send it in, usually by Friday, by end of day Friday, and we'll try to include your thoughts as a part of the episode. We had more Garlisle, even the Mega Man god. Some might call him, included his thoughts. He played it ahead of schedule, but didn't play it fully because he didn't want to ruin his experience.
Sorry, Garlisle.
But thank you for at least trying with us and keeping your pace. From our Retro Master list, we are randomly selecting a game now. We're going to be playing a 1993 educational game.
Yes, I need to learn.
Yeah,
that came out for MS-DOS, the Nintendo Entertainment System, as well as the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, all within just like a month or two of each other.
I like this genre.
I like the genre is either done really well or really bad.
Yeah, that's
there's no in between.
Yeah.
It was developed and published by Software Toolworks, and The player controls a character named Luigi.
Luigi who, Paint?
Who must travel around the world to find and return stolen treasures as a part of a quest to find his brother, Mario.
Luigi
who
has teaches
been captured
typing?
By Browser.
Browser?
By Browser?
Microsoft Edge.
By Browser. All right. We are going to be playing the educational Mario game called Mario is Missing.
This is not published by Nintendo. I've never heard of this. There's no way.
You're right. It wasn't published by Nintendo.
Oh. Was Mario?
Do you understand how rarely they give allowances for someone else to do this?
Did they?
I think
even?
I think back in this day it was more common. They're okay. Super tight
Yo,
these days, but
it's gonna be bad.
It was after like, this game that they said no longer are we going to allow people to do this.
We played Mario Teaches Typing, right?
Yeah, I don't think
back
that was
in the day.
Nintendo.
I don't think that was Nintendo.
Okay, so a Mario game that's not Nintendo is already bad.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
All right, well, find a copy of Mario is Missing. There is an exclamation point at the end of that title, so don't get it twisted. And play it along. Play it? Is it
learn
a game?
It. Learn it. Learn it along with us.
This week.
Knowledge is power, as is our Discord server. NGPpodcast.com, click join us in Discord, and you will gain all power in the world.
That was one of your worst.
People will come because of how bad it was.
I mean, there is a lot of edutainment that goes on in there. I'll give it to you. When you're hanging out with us, you're going to meet people that love the show and support the show, like our amazing list of producers. Amarley and Anthony, Austin Ben, Bethany Fox, Brunt, Carrie, Captain Protein, Dan the Man, DB Muppet, Francesca, Hi, I'm Josh, Joey, Jordan, Justin, Corey, Lorelei Maxima, Mr. Lattes, Nahwell, Secret Duck of Evermore, Shauna Thomas, Unbedavable, Wardonis William, and Zion. The list is growing. It's becoming more difficult for me every week, and I welcome the challenge. Bring it on. We also want to say a super big shout out to our director level supporters, Antonin, Rojim, and Garlisle. You guys go above and beyond, and we're so appreciative. And we want to welcome our newest patron, Longshot.
Longshot! Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. You can find us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Listen directly while you're on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, please leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. We love you, brother. Tom is, as we've mentioned on the last few episodes, leaving the podcast as our editor, but never as our friend. If
never.
You are interested in joining the NGP team as our new podcast editor, or you might know someone that is qualified, please email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to start the conversation. Join us next week as we play Mario is Missing. Until then, I'm Edgelord to Edgetainer.
I'm certain I'm going to find Mario.
That was worse than my Discord invite.
Disagree. And this has been ZNGP.